Welcome to Conversations from the Heart, the podcast of Moyo Talks and the Heart Center. Good morning and welcome to Conversations from the Heart. My name is Mark Bind. I'm one of your hosts this morning, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to our conversation. Our other hosts are here with me, and if they could please introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Cindy Holmes. I am really looking forward to opening my heart and connecting with everyone this morning.
Morning, I'm Alex Morostica, and I too am very excited about spending this morning with everybody.
Good morning all, I'm Valerie, and I am also excited, and as Cindy said, to open our hearts and to connect in a time that brings us back into the present moment where we share from our heart space. So I'm looking forward to that.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Anderson, and I'm also looking forward to our conversation this morning, as always, and connecting and speaking from the heart, which is full this week. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful, Jen. I'm glad to hear your heart is full. And this morning, Valerie is going to be taking us through our meditation. So, Val, over to you.
I'm going to start the meditation this morning, and I'm just going to bring us into this moment with a little ring of my bells. And as we relax and we sit and move ourselves into a space of groundedness and connection, allow the sound of the bell just to ring through your heart space and expand your heart space. And as we sit in this moment with an expanded heart space, bring awareness to the breath that arrives in the nostrils and allow that beautiful breath to come up into your nostrils. And as it arrives in the nostrils, see if you can sense your belly rising. And as the breath leaves the nostrils, get a sense of the belly falling away. And for a few moments, allow yourself to notice and observe how your breath is able to move in and out of the body. And then eventually it finds its own rhythm. Bring in awareness to this breathing body. No effort. No force, sitting here right now, allowing your body to breathe itself. I then invite you to take your awareness to your feet on the ground and feel your feet on Mother Earth and allow yourself to feel connected, held, supported, and comforted by the powerful energy of what the earth holds for us. And we bring that energy up into our feet as we allow ourselves to be rooted, grounded, and connected to that powerful energy. And as we bring it up through our feet, we allow it to travel up our lower limbs, the upper limbs, and it arrives in our lower torso, and then it arrives in the heart space. And for a moment, get a sense of that powerful holding energy arriving in your heart space. And as you feel that beautiful energy in the heart space, for a moment, see if you can just notice your own heartbeat, the physical heartbeat, as it connects with the energy of the heart, that energetic body, the space of unconditional love. That beat of our own hearts and that energetic heart, which is the rhythm within our physical bodies and our energetic bodies that allows us to be present in this moment, right here, right now. Then take your awareness up, up above, past the building or the room that you're sitting in. Take it further up, as high as you feel that you are able to go, and get a sense of the connection to the highest source of light, love, and healing. And as you feel this beautiful connection of this beautiful white light and healing and love, allow yourself to bring it down. Bring it down, down, down through the top of your head, and it moves through your brow and your throat, and that also arrives in this heart space, in the energetic heart that holds the rhythm of unconditional love. And we connect this beautiful, powerful healing energy, and we allow it to move throughout our bodies. And we work with the intention that this heartfelt healing energy of love and light can be expressed in our world in this present moment of huge shift and change, and allowing the world to connect to this heart energy of love, light, and healing. And as we connect, we allow others to feel that powerful connection. And in our hearts, we know that we are protected. And we set the intention that our space, this online space where we connect and share, is surrounded by protection, this beautiful energy of love and light, and that we are surrounded and protected with this beautiful protecting energy. And as we allow this energy connecting our mind, body, and breath and our hearts, get a sense of the nutrients that just sitting in the moment, that are the nutrients that flow through our body as we find a still quiet moment within. As we settle in that moment within and open our hearts, expanding to share, we notice our connected feet on the ground to that holding, supportive earth energy. And as we feel our connection to this holding energy and the energy from above, we allow ourselves, open our eyes, and bring ourselves back into the space where we are sitting, right here, right now.
Well, thank you, Val. That was lovely. So nice to start off our Monday with a meditation like that. I don't know about you guys, but you've probably noticed something going on in America over the last week. And if you're anything like me, at times it may have threatened your inner peace, because at times it's threatened my inner peace. And I've noticed various people, and especially the spiritual teachers I follow on social media, kind of getting caught up in it all. And I'm not sure if that is the right thing to do or not, but I know that when I have felt, when I've been invested in a particular outcome, my inner peace kind of comes under threat, because if the particular outcome isn't looking favorable, then, you know, I make my happiness or my inner peace dependent on some other outcome. And I think there are a lot of people struggling at the moment with what's going on in the States, you know, and I think perhaps it would be good to look at some tools as to how to approach this, you know. For one thing, I found myself needing to surrender any judgments about what should be happening, because I think, you know, what everybody wants is actually what's for the best, you know, the best outcome for the United States and for the world, rather than one particular person or another particular person. And I think if we can, like, sort of surrender a desired outcome, we might find ourselves a step closer to being in a state of peace. Because, you know, when you kind of get caught up in it all, you can lose your sense of inner peace, and you can lose your sense of groundedness. And it's amazing how many spiritual teachers are really, like, struggling with this at the moment. I mean, everybody's struggling with it, but it's like, you know, and there's only a handful of people that I follow. They're like, yeah, it's all going to be all right. You know, it's, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. I mean, how have you guys felt about this American election? How's it been affecting you over the last few days?
So thank you, Mark, for bringing up the inevitable conversation today. because we spoke quite a lot about it in our last podcast. For me, I chose not to engage with it. If it came into my news feed, I became the compassionate observer. And I did that quite quickly into the week, because I could, I think from our conversation last week, I opened my heart to other possibilities of, and that actually there was duality in, there were pros and cons for each person that did that. And something, you sort of said, well, what tools? I think for me right now in the world that we live in and what is going on around us in uncertainty, there are a couple of tools that I'm using and that I would love to share to people. The one is that there is no, you cannot control the outcomes, and that the only thing is that we can control is our responses. And I think I say it every podcast, but that is such a true focus. So if something's pushing your buttons, and one of them, when you see the jokes that come around Trump and things, I've just ignored them. What they have done is provoked me around our species. Some good friends sent some quite sexist things, and I went, we're still living in a patriarchal society. But all as I can say is the light is coming out. People are doing this. People are saying it's okay. So for me, it's about what can I do to control myself? And then the other thing is asking for help from our superior beings, our guides, our angels, and asking them to connect with the divine timing of this in order for our species vibration to either raise or drop, depending what is the divine timing for our species, and actually handing that over to the responsibility of a higher self rather than engaging in it, because it's just a waste of energy. It's really, if you getting upset and engaging and at a level of emotion and it's wearing down your energy, you're responsible for that. So it's that personal thing. And then asking your higher self, your guides, depending on your belief system. But my belief is, let's get them involved. Let's ask for help. Don't forget, we have these higher beings around us that are there to support us through these times. And it's extraordinary that we can let go of the outcome. There've been things going on personally for me in my life alongside that with family members who have had suicide ideation, etc., where I can't control the outcome of whether they do it. But what I can ask is that whatever learning is meant for the family is happening and that we are obtaining the gifts. And just staying in that space and going, you're feeling like you get it, you're engaging at this level. This is your ego. Let's rise above it. Let's go to our higher self and bring in help.
Yes, Cindy, I and Mark and Cindy both, the same, just haven't engaged with it at all really along the way. And in fact, I kind of, after some time, and I'm not sure if it was a year or a couple or something, I just stopped tuning into Trump at all really, as, you know, kind of what that was about, because I felt such a reaction to that anyway. And, you know, that was out of my control, really. So for one of my tools is really trying to remember that, and I can get caught in this sometimes where I'm so agitated or I feel resistance and it's, I'm trying to control something outside of me or in the outside world, which I absolutely have no control over. And I just really daily have to come back to reminding myself that, you know, coming, and I do a lot of work with my center, and I think I've discussed this before, and just coming back to myself and controlling and watching my own responses. That's about the only thing really that I can work with, is my responses and really watching those. And interestingly, I had kept away from all of it, you know, for a very long time, and particularly this week, you know, and I find it quite bizarre and surreal to watch how those things play out, you know, like it's kind of like a show or some huge, you know, carnival or a circus or something, which is really strange to me. And so, yeah, kept away from all of that. But then Sunday I just caught a glimpse, because it was on someone's TV, of a speech that Biden was giving once he had discovered he was elected. And the part that I was listening to, I actually found myself a little bit drawn into that and just realized actually how much of the world has been holding, really just holding this pressure and this intense, feeling and emotion around maybe impending disaster or whatever, just this sort of holding. And I actually felt compassion and I felt something really soft or gentle entered me in terms of understanding how much relief globally in some respects I think was being felt, you know, collectively, and not by everyone, but it just seemed this overwhelming sense of hope or something that I haven't really felt for quite a while. Even though, you know, even being disengaged from that and trying not to give attention to it, in some respects, I'm still sort of connected to that a little bit by even disassociating or something with that. And so, Cindy, you said something about, and I know I'm talking a lot here, but you said something about the patriarchy. One thing, and it could all be lip service, of course, but one thing that he said in that sort of snap that I listened to was, I am Jill's wife. So he actually spoke to the women in his life and he said, without her, I'm not here. Without her and my family and those people and the women. And I thought, wow, that's really cool to hear him sort of to, and he said, you know, the world's watching us. And I just really appreciated that he actually said that and sort of brought women. And what he's done is actually, you know, put a woman into a vice presidency role, which is, you know, moving people a lot as well. So I kind of felt a spark of positivity, even though I didn't want to engage and go too far into that. I actually felt like something had lifted. And so the way I work with that is really, yeah, just controlling my own responses and where I am, trying to stay sort of close to the center really, and you know, staying in a place where I'm not going out too far to everything else. And I also, I do work with my ancestors as well. And, you know, calling in for help really on all of those levels, really, you know, beings seen and unseen, and ancestors, and just what that can teach me as well, all of us really, the lessons and the guidance really, that I know myself, I can know myself so much better, but also, you know my limitations and my challenges and, you know, what sort of sits here that I work with that, you know, has been handed to me as well. So I kind of work with those things really in the challenges that come day to day with things like US elections.
I think this is such a powerful topic, and I'm reminded as Cindy spoke about our little one-on-one course about invincible energy and our own responsibility around managing our energy and how we teach the simple 101 for others. And I've been reminded in this last week to bring myself back to my own 101 on my groundedness, my centeredness, my own protection, the words, the thoughts, and my non-reactivity around what is going on around me and keeping myself centered and grounded. And I was reminded, and I got a little bit drawn in because my daughter lives in America now with 3 grandchildren, about her struggle around and her quite strong opinions, which I was relatively surprised by, around who she wanted to be the president. And I had to hold that, and I became aware that I had to just listen and allow her to express her challenge and her difficulty as a mother of 3 in a new country, and allow her to express what was in her heart, that I didn't have to react or respond. I just could listen to her, which was very important for her. But it was challenging for me to take away from that conversation her strong opinion about what she thought. And then I was reminded, like Cindy, about our discussion and about the duality of that, holding both those people who could be the presidents of their country in compassion and bring back to my own heart what is for the higher good, for the planet, for myself, for all of us. And then I was reminded again, as we teach in the invincible energy, when there are challenges, ask for help. And we talk about it possibly as seeing an energy healer or whatever we're talking about. And as Cindy mentioned, asking for help from the higher beings, and Jen said our ancestors and whoever else holds us in the struggle of this collective space. And then I was reminded about the teaching about don't cling to anything, don't cling to the outcome. Move away from the I, the me, the mine, and just stay in the heart of being centered. And then as I felt in my meditation, is to express that centered heart space into the world and trust that there would be some form of a heartful connection for all of us, however it arrives for us. So, yeah, it's about non-reactivity and holding ourselves in a very grounded and centered way, as we don't get hooked and caught into every story that arrives.
So Val, I think we bring up, and thank you for that, and Jen, for sharing that, and I think we bring up a lot of very interesting points. When it comes to our own country, and we are able to have something that we can do, i.e. can we vote, can we protest? I think that needs to sit with us. When we're talking about America and the American president, there's nothing that we can actually physically do to change that. We can hold them in the higher good, and we can hold them with compassion. When it comes to the country, and one thing I've always did, when I lived in the United Kingdom, I voted in the United Kingdom because I had a voice. If I felt Mr. Blue Tie, why am I losing his name? When we went to war in Iraq, I certainly took to the streets and was very vocal around that and had a strong opinion because I was living in that country, even though, you know, we had the London bombings, we had a whole lot of things going. So I believe we need to engage passionately. Thank you, Mark, Tony Blair. We have to engage passionately around our community. And when we have a say, I believe, in my belief system, that we need to stand up for what we believe. And we are allowed to have strong opinions. However, we still need to do that within our heart. We still need to understand. And I mean, our country went through what I call Zoomerism, where we had a leader that had similar qualities to Trump. And I believe at that time we had a say. If there were protest marches against corruption, I would go on those. It's the same as if they did a lockdown in this country. I would be very vocal. I would be very passionate about it. And I would take to the streets because it's for me. If somebody wants to sit at home and do nothing, I need to meet them where they're at. However, if there is something I can physically do and I believe strongly in it, I will go into my heart and stand up for what I believe in. I will talk passionately, but I need to also listen and accept and hear everybody with an open heart. However, I can still have a heartfelt opinion one way or the other. So I think us commenting on the American election, as Jen is in Australia and we are all in South Africa, I think that is okay. But if it is our own country and we have an ability to take action in different ways, then I think we need to do it. But we still need to meet the others with their heart. And recently we've had uprisings over farming, where the extreme left and the extreme right have become, the hatred has come up, old wounds of hatred. And then I believe we can have an opinion, but we need to hold both the left and the right in our heart and send healing and understand and walk in both of their shoes. And I think politically that is really in where we are right now. I sense, and for me, it's let's understand the ancestral line. Let's send healing to ancestral lines and really hold that in our heart and walk, you know, walk 100 miles in somebody else's moccasins. Whatever the saying is, I'm not doing well with words today, but those things, but we still can have opinions. We can still go out, but I believe we have to hold both sides within our hearts because it's happening because of divine timing. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. And the comment about us walking 100 miles in someone else's moccasins or shoes or whatever the saying is, that resonated. I had a different approach over the last week. I actually got fully engaged in the whole election thing. I'm very fascinated by politics generally, and I'm particularly fascinated by American politics and the whole socioeconomic dynamic. So this was just another opportunity for me to be a scientist watching the science experiment that is going on the last week. And I literally set up my work desk in the lounge and had the TV on and was working with watching CNN. And I had on the laptop, I had Fox on, which was, and in a way it was almost got an opportunity to walk my 100 miles in another person's shoes, because I've got to see in real time how there was breaking news and how one broadcaster was framing it one way and another broadcaster was framing it in a completely different way. And I have a family as well as a lot of friends in the US, and they, the whole spread of spectrum from people wanting one outcome to another outcome, and then some people are a little bit apathetic and don't get involved. But one of my friends was severely on the this is all voter fraud side, and I could see how that happens if you're watching the one news channel. Like, it was so clear how that can be a realistic thing to think. And doing that, actually, I think under different circumstances, if I read her posts on social media, it really would have triggered me. But having sat watching how this was unfolding on Fox, I could completely understand why she legitimately felt the way she did. And that helped me to have a lot of compassion and not get triggered by people who had a different opinion to me. Having said that, what helped for me was also that maybe I wasn't that vested in either outcome. I went in thinking that I didn't think either candidate was a particularly good candidate. So it was like, from your perspective, which is the lesser evil, maybe? Evil is a strong word, but so that also helped. I did, however, one thing that I thought was, to me, the most beautiful part out of this whole process was that they gave due to the fact that it's a woman of color who's in the vice presidential position. And out of the first world Western countries, America has always been behind in terms of representation in elected office. And that was good to see. That is a significant change. That was beautiful to see.
Yeah, the world always reflects back what needs healing. And I think this is going to continue for some time because the courts actually haven't called it yet. The media has called it. And the media in this day and age always has an agenda, which, you know, if we start looking at the story behind the story, I think triggers are going to be pulled for the next while at least. And I think we're going to be challenged. The world is going to be challenged through this. And I think we're going to continue to need to practice these tools that we've been talking about, you know, the sort of compassionate witness, the non-judgment, the calling in assistance from the divine. And also just sort of realizing that, you know, the outcome is kind of beyond any individual's ability to affect at this point in time. Although, you know, I suspect there are some individuals who will try and affect the outcome and some sort of groups who might try and affect the outcome. So, you know, what was very interesting is just noticing how, you know, even social media, like, how my newsfeed was flooded with news that Biden had won. But when you look a little bit deeper, well, the courts haven't called it yet. And in a country like America, which is meant to be upholding democracy, to see that under threat is quite interesting. And then taking a breath and realizing, well, wait a second, Jay, am I being triggered by this? And okay, take a few breaths, let's surrender the judgment, let's let go of it all. But I think it's going to be quite a story that unfolds over the next few weeks. And I do really hope and pray that what is best for the world will happen. And it will, because that's the only way that it's going to, you know, even if it is something dark or something that's potentially takes the world into a worse place, if that's what the humanity has chosen, that's what we'll get, because that's the lesson that we need. The world will reflect back to us our level of consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. I was trying to remember it when you were saying that there's a little bit of a thing we say is, you know, you don't always, you know, what you ask for is not necessarily what you'll get. You know, what you need is what, you know, what you'll get. So I think that really speaks to that for me. And that resonated last week when we were, and I did also come to a place of feeling comfortable with, yeah, you know, really maybe what we need is what we need, you know. And out of this time has come these type of conversations anyway, and being able to maybe even be a bit more honest across political lines, or just be a little bit more kind of transparent in some respects, although it's kind of sounds a bit contradictory because it seems anything but transparent, but it's kind of ripped some, there's been a pull cord of some sorts maybe ripped, I think, that I have seen allow for different conversations like this and possibilities. And something that Alex just said then that I was thinking about was just that the divide, that really what this has done is it's really highlighted this intolerance. You know, it's built this incredible intolerance, and that there is a hard left and that there's a hard right. So, you know, and that is that area of judgment and not really being in compassion. And I think a lesson that I take from this, and something I've been thinking about around compassion recently, is how ill-equipped any of us really are for compassion. This is my opinion, if we don't actually have compassion for ourselves first. So if we're not sitting in a place of just allowing ourselves to feel, and that might be, you know, going with what, you know, whatever's there, that, you know, there's a struggle, there's a judgment, and having compassion for that, then really for me allows that tolerance to actually come a little bit closer. And for me, compassion is something that's really come up for me in this, actually, and having that discussion with the other side of myself, even, you know, as an individual, my shadow, the stuff that, you know, I battle with or I struggle with, that wants to, you know, shut me down or criticize or, you know, have a go, to then sort of sit with that and be gentle and understand. And, you know, that's not, you know, it's not sort of here or there, I guess, but just, yeah, we can't really help, I guess, as a collective either, unless we're able to, you know, obviously it's one of those sort of cliches, I guess, and a bit anecdotal, but, you know, help ourselves first and be in that place before we're even able to go out and understand these other broader, larger issues that are happening, which I think, speaking about our own countries, Cindy, that's a very good reminder, you know. And I think I said a couple of weeks ago, I can really see that divide, and that there's this infighting so much now, you know, there's just that left and right, that fight against the one or the other in a lot of different countries now, that this might, you know, one hope is that, you know, this is maybe an example of how we might come back together, all of us, you know, for a little bit from the left and a little bit from the right, or wherever that is, that it comes a little bit further into the center. And through compassion, and, you know, we'll see, you know, yeah.
And as Alex does, watching the news from both sides, you know, that's another useful tool.
Yeah.
Like, follow people on social media from the left and from the right, because it helps with your understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sort of, you know, and I really understood that taking to the streets, or that sort of expression. I think, you know, in my own country too, I'll go into marching or really things that I feel passionate about. And, you know, I think that that's a really positive thing too. So I do understand where at one point I thought, this looks crazy from one perspective, what's happening, say, in America. But, you know, I think Cindy gave a really good example and reminder of, you know, if it's our own country and it's our own passions and we're attached to that in some way, then, you know, of course we're going to get behind that. Or that it is also a way to release, you know, that energy or that sort of tension as well a little bit, and actually feel productive or useful maybe too. Anyway.
So I think for me, just reflecting back on this conversation and thinking about the game changers in the world in terms of our species, and I go back to the Second World War, where we had somebody as powerful as Hitler changing the shape of our species. And the, you know, other than certain people, and even people being caught, we look at Italy, Alex, who on one hand in the beginning of the war was on the side of the Germans and the Nazis, and then actually switched path and became part of the, you know, the liberation of the world, and America, and this focus of our species focusing against this dark force of things that were happening and how that collectively really became powerful in our species and how we reacted and behaved towards that. And the hatred on both sides, but there was this collective energy of liberation, really, of people out of that. And unless we have the shadow, how do we shine the light on our species? How does our species grow if we don't have these occurrences? If we don't have the, we had the Twin Towers and the war on terrorism, and whether that was right or wrong, I'm not going to give my opinion on that, but I have quite a strong opinion around that. But we have these world things that happen where the world turns its focus, and it can be for liberation and light and for the betterment of our species. But we still need to look at the duality of it. The fact that our species needs things to learn, like we all need trauma and disaster in our own life to grow, so does our species. And I do believe, and I have a belief system, is that we choose the lives and we come here to learn the lessons. And some of the people who are creating this havoc for our species are here for a reason, to make us learn. And I always come back to Neil Donald Walsh and the sun and the soul. And we are here. And some part of our species comes here and makes a choice of a life of being the perpetrator, such that we can learn. And when I think about that, it's easier to feel compassion and love, even when possibly I see the hate, or I see the evil, or whatever our species is named. When I see the shadow, meeting it with compassion, because it will help us grow.
Yeah, and I think what's important is that we take these opportunities to learn. And I think a lot of people don't. When you know, the turmoil that the world finds itself in provides us with so much opportunity for personal growth. And if you're on a spiritual journey, you need to take these opportunities. You know, take the opportunity to self-reflect and to look at what's triggering you, and apply some tools so that you can shift your perspective. Because, you know, as a spiritual person, I see my personal role throughout my life is to raise my level of consciousness, you know, and as I raise my level of consciousness, the level of collective consciousness rises. Now, isn't this the best way to get to a better outcome for humanity? You know, by shifting the consciousness of humanity. And what's reflected back to us is, you talk about the duality. We're sort of like seeing this duality, like in turmoil at the moment. But we spoke about this quite a lot in season one, how, you know, media and social media is like reflecting this. And it almost seems to amplify this polarity. And, you know, it has us believe that the fight is between left and right, but it's actually not. We're tricked into believing it's between left and right. You know, is the fight actually between light and dark? But light has no reason to fight. It stands alone on its own. It doesn't need to defend itself because it has enough strength to stand there and just shine bright. Now, you know, if I bring this light into my heart and I just allow it to radiate and to find inner peace, that's sufficient. Or is it? You know, do I need to do more? Do I need to shine the light on the darkness as well? So I need to shine the light on the darkness. I'll stop there.
I over the last sort of 6 weeks have really felt and got a real sense that it's about just shining our light. And that our responsibility as individuals is turning on our own light bulb and focusing on our own. And that I think that meeting people where they're at with our light is really all that we can do. And that actually having a sense of shining it and whatever, I think brings us into our ego and into our shadow, because if we think that we are able to shine our light on this, on our species, we're upgrading ourselves to a different level. And I don't, and I, you know, there've been a lot of conversations around this, and I, for me, the conclusion that I've come to and what I'm feeling comfortable, and I can only speak for myself, is that just keep shining your light, Cindy. Don't direct it anywhere. Just shine the light, keep doing what you are feeling is right, rather than shining it on what I think is the shadow. So just holding the light of, I'm comfortable with the outcome, I'm this, I'm feeling this, I'm doing that. And just focusing on that is enough. Because the minute we try and upgrade ourselves into LEDs or this or that and becomes better, we go into our own shadow of ego. And that's what I've really experienced, though. I didn't get it for some time, but going through the conversations we've been having in our series, and we also have a coach's one, and going through those conversations, and we've been doing a really experimental, it's all about that. And I think if each and every single person did that, and met everyone exactly where they were at and honored their journey, that's where we all need to be. But that is very personal to my experience over the last 2 months.
Yeah, I really hear that, Cindy. And Mark, you asked at the start of the conversation, or you expressed sort of a bit of surprise at, you know, a lot of spiritual leaders being hooked in, or, you know, that we have some expectation that people who are maybe, you know, we could use the term enlightened, or, you know, in a strong spiritual practice, that we might see as surprising when they go into some human faculty or emotion. I think that's the threat sometimes, Cindy, as you were saying, is that when you separate, or you kind of, you bypass even the shadow, or you go to, you know, something out there, but you're not sort of balanced, or you're not staying with the shadow aspects, or the, you know, the dichotomy or the opposite, which is always there. You know, there can be light, there can be light, but it doesn't mean that it replaces, you know, that it's just sort of, it becomes just that, because then there is no balance. So I think, that's a really good reminder to stay in that process the whole time, going in and out, you know, what's here, for a personal journey, you know, what's my challenge? What's in front of me that I'm struggling with, you know, how might I project that, or how might I be putting that out if I don't sit here and actually work with that? And then from that, you know, I think light comes, you know, as a result anyway. My little dog in the background, sorry, having a dream. So that, I think that's a really good reminder to keep going back to that work, you know, so that we don't sort of lift ourselves somewhere out here in that ego where we think we're sort of, you know, we're apart from what's down here or what's in here, or the, you know, the murky stuff.
So thanks, Jen. And I, Valen, sorry, I've jumped in again, but I feel, you know, just recently around all of this, is that a lot of the leaders have said at this time, we're going to be separating and the world is going to split into the light and the dark. I'm not an expert on it, because it's something that doesn't resonate with me. I haven't done much reading about the ascension into the world of Atlantis and all of that, because it doesn't resonate, and I don't think it's going to happen in this lifetime of mine. So for me to, so some of the teachings and some of the learnings that I've been hearing around the ascension of the earth into this higher vibration just hasn't resonated with me. And I don't know how other people feel with it. I just feel, I just want to be in my humanness now. And sometimes, and then I have to look at that within myself. Why am I getting agitated with these people? And then go back into hold on a minute. If you're meeting everyone where they're at, then you need to meet those people where they're at this time and understand them with an open heart. So the learning of me hearing some of those teachings or seeing them in connected circles is really viewing them with an open heart and going, okay, that's an opinion. That's their reality right now. And accept that with an open heart. It doesn't mean I need to join it as a spiritual person. Or as seeing it. And am I spiritual? I'm a spiritual person in a human body having an experience. That's all I am.
As you were speaking earlier, Cindy, about the light, our own light, I got this vision of a lighthouse. And I got a sense of the lighthouse as it lights up. And the lighthouse just stands. And it just lights up. And whoever passes, whichever ships, which however the sea unfolds against it and beats against the rocks, the lighthouse just stands. It's there, it's the light. Whoever notices it, whoever engages with it, whatever its meaning is to be there, and it's always just there. And I think in us being within the light within ourselves, and being grounded and connected to this earth experience of that we chose to be and now and experience, just to be the light, however, wherever it shines, it's not our job to direct it or say, you need the light, you need this. It's just to be there. And whoever connects to our light in whatever way is what they may need or connect with us at that time. And then we connect without just judgment, with just an observation. And I thought that was quite curious. And then it took me back to a song, which is quite bizarre. It took me back to a song. So I suppose in my teachings, I was born Catholic, then became born again, converted to Judaism and follows Buddhist teachings. But it took me back to a song that I learned in Sunday school. And it was the song that goes, and I'm sure you've heard the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." And I thought, that's all it is about me coming into this world right here, right now, is this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And however it shines, I keep going within and saying, this little light within me that connects to my heart, I'm just gonna let it shine. And it doesn't matter if it radiates 6,000 miles or just around me in this moment. I'm just going to be my own little lighthouse and I'm just going to let it shine. And whoever connects to my light is meant to connect in this moment and in this time. So with my little Sunday school song, I set the intention for my week, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Beautiful, Val. I like that little light and I like that little song. I'm wondering if anybody has any parting comments on this. Just a reminder of the useful tools. Work on your shadow, let your light shine, surrender your judgment, be the compassionate witness, observe across the spectrum, you know, follow people and friends and hear what they have to say and meet them where they are. We don't need to try and force our opinions on others. We don't need to have their opinions forced on us. We can just meet them where they are and accept them from the heart space. And I think if we can do this, we'll make the world a slightly better place just through the interactions that we have with people. Just to, you know, be able to hold space for those being triggered by the events in the world right now. So I think that's a good place to wrap things up for today. And thank you guys for being part of the conversation. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom. And I look forward to touching base again next week.